Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
So, boys and girls, welcome back to the VYB podcast. Today, it's me, Georgia, and Ibrahim Kamara.
Yeah.
I pronounced it correctly first time.
Yeah.
Good. So, today we're going to be speaking to him. How are you, sir, first and foremost?
Good.
Yeah?
I'm a bit nervous now.
All good.
I'm a bit nervous now.
Loving the glasses. Yeah. They look very snazzy.
Thank you.
Loving them. Snazzy.
You know, what I tried to do today was, I read something that about how you look.
Yeah.
It's like, gives a perception.
Yeah, man.
And I thought that how I was dressing looked a bit hood. So I put glasses on to balance it out.
Respect that. The earring is killing it. I like the earring.
Safe. Yeah, that's my 25-year-old look.
Yeah.
Like, I used to just have the hoop, and then I got the hoop with the dangly thing. Yeah.
You recently
just
turned 25, yeah. When was your birthday?
December 29th.
December. Ooh. So you like combined it with a New Year's thing?
Combined it with a New Year. Oh, come refresh.
On. Just, did you fly out? I saw you was abroad.
Yeah, first time I've been away for my birthday, went to Alicante.
Ooh, Alicante. Nice. How about that?
Right next to the beach.
Yeah,
it looked like San Andreas.
Yeah, I saw. It looked good.
Stood
it looked
by
very
the
nice.
Waves. And
yeah, come on, got wavy.
It was almost like a resurrection. Yeah. Come back as a new person.
How long was you there for?
A week. That's the longest, like, yeah. Legit a week.
Yeah.
That's a good way to kick off the new year, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, it got me in touch with nature. And you know, like, there the water's actually blue.
Yeah.
Like, here, we don't have blue water, like, but
not
there.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing here.
Yeah, there were so much things there that were sick. Like, but the nature there was amazing because it's like, the waves do the same pattern over and over again. So if you, like, just close your eyes and just listen.
Yeah,
it's mad therapeutic.
I can imagine, man. Yeah. I listen to it anyway, like when I'm falling asleep and stuff like that. Sometimes
same.
I just slap a wave.
That's a good thing you're sitting next to that planet. It just brings you back.
Love it. Yeah. In touch with nature.
But nah, the weather. The weather here, nothing compared.
Nah, I hear that. So the reason we've got Ibrahim in today is because he is the founder of a very special magazine, the first of its kind.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk to us a little bit about how you started Guap? And what the motivation behind it was?
So Guap started, it was founded by myself and my business partner, Jide Adetunji.
Mm-hmm.
And we both went to Kent University.
Okay, so that's where you met
then? No, we actually met in college.
Okay.
All right.
We had bare mutual friends, but then we went same uni.
Yeah.
And then just got closer at uni. He had made like an investment group. And it was basically like a bunch of guys and a few girls that would come together and invest in ideas together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We done an event called AF Party, which was like a traditional African party for university students. And we done that at our uni. And that was a complete flop.
Right.
Yeah.
But within that process, me and Jude realized that we work well together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
More than everyone else in the group.
Because
like, so we could rely on each other, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then one day, I think like a couple of days before the party, me and Jade were just on the phone, just speaking to each other, just like, yeah, we should like big ourselves up because we actually pulled off this event, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Even though we knew it was going to be a flop, just the whole process of us like thinking of an idea, actually working out how to make happen, like, let's just be happy that we've done that kind of thing.
People don't realize the amount that goes into events.
Definitely.
There's a lot of things that you got to get.
What I learned in that one event
has
taught me everything for Guap, because like every L we could have taken, we took it on that one thing.
Bro, you have to.
But within that phone conversation, that's where the idea for Guap came.
Right, okay.
Right.
So I actually wanted to ask you, I know you grew up in Peckham, right?
Yeah, well, around that area.
So, that being said, it's an area that's obviously been gentrified quite a lot in the past few years. But I wanted to get your take on how your upbringing in that area shaped the way you are as a person and then led you to think in the way you think. Because you're a very thought-provoking person. And that comes it comes across in the mag. It comes across in the mag. Do you know what I'm saying? And obviously that's where I thought to ask you where the motivation for it came, man, because it obviously stemmed from a place of creativity.
Well, that's a good analysis. But I think when I was speaking to someone else, I realised that a lot of things that I used to do and a lot of my upbringing is in what I do now. So let's say my dad runs a business and he's had a business in Peckham for like 15 years. Actually, more than 15 years. For as long as I can remember, my dad's always had a shop in Peckham.
Right.
So he's very much entrepreneur,
right.
Self-employed. I've never seen my dad work or anything that. So, and he's very community focused. So I'm Sierra Leonean, and in like South London, Peckham, there's bare Sierra Leoneans, and my dad's shop is like a place where a lot of Sierra Leoneans come to.
Right.
And my like when problems happen, a lot of people come to my dad. Okay. So my dad's kind of like
a figure in my community,
like Sierra Leonean community. Then my mum runs a charity and it's all about like giving back kind of thing. Right. And she, because my grandma was disabled, so she started a charity to basically help disabled children and people in Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
So she does all that giving back stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess with GWOP is a mixture of the two.
I was just about to say,
because GWOP is a very... It's a very inclusive magazine where you're always wanting the biggest amount of talent and the most amount of talent as well. Yeah. And there's a lot of different talents that you guys are working with. You know, you do photographers, writers, contributors, you know, everything. There's a lot of different people that you're working with.
Yeah.
And I think from what you just said about your upbringing, it's definitely see where you're getting that from.
100%.
Giving back to your community.
Yeah, that's the thing, because like GWOP is like half commercial, but half community,
everything
we do. But then it's like, GWOP wouldn't be here today if I wasn't from these areas.
Because
the reason why we started GWOP was to basically create a platform that will show young people that there are people out here doing the most random things or like random careers that weren't shown to us when we was growing up because of where we're from.
Yeah.
But you can be this. That's what GWOP was started for. So like when I was growing up, everyone wanted to, like the man then wanted to be footballers or wanted to be rappers, and that was it. Yeah. No one knew about directors. No one knew about artist managers. No one knew about like all the other stuff. So we was like, there must be people our age from the our ends that are doing stuff. They just aren't on the platform.
Yeah.
So that's why.
What I was going to say is that I was going to ask, was growing up in Peckham a push for you to start your own thing? Yeah. Because there wasn't a lot of opportunity, especially for young black people. Growing up back in the day, there just wasn't anything, especially creative as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we started, the creative thing wasn't cool. We were in our ends, like Lewisham, let's say Southwark. You know, when you get to like after college, everyone basically knows each other kind of thing. We were like one of the first man them to start business from ends.
Yeah.
So this was like 2015.
Okay.
So like this is when everyone's just finished uni and everyone's thinking about getting job. No one was starting businesses when we started, you know what I'm saying? So even our journey of being from ends and doing business is somewhat showing that thing of we can do whatever we put our mind to kind of thing.
It's empowering. Realistically, because a lot of the people from the area that I grew up in, so I grew up in North London, Wood Green, Tottenham, that sort of area.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was Peckham number two.
you know. So it's like, just like you say, very few people from the ends was like on this creative thing.
Yeah.
It was all very much get a job in whatever they could at the time.
Yeah.
And it was very rarely anything to do with media. Very rarely. So it was interesting when Georgia put me in touch with GWOP, and obviously the reason that we've got you on here today is because she informed me of you. I didn't know about you until I think it's important we say that, actually. It's important we say the link, you know what I'm saying, because Georgia's done some work for you guys in the past. Georgia's
shot photos.
Shout out Georgia, listen.
You
know what I'm saying,
she takes photos.
Come on, man.
Georgia shot one of our best covers,
bro. I was looking at it the other day, I was like, if I didn't know it was shot by you, I would have thought. You feel me? But so one of the questions I wanted to ask you as well, what was the what was the idea behind making it a video mag? Because obviously it was the first of its kind.
Yeah.
And you can literally say that you're an innovator within your industry. So what was
smiling?
Yeah, look at that smile.
Yeah.
So what was the motivation behind that, and what was the inspiration behind?
Definitely was an accident, though. Definitely was an accident. So I don't even think I've explained what the magazine is.
Yeah.
So Guap
is.
Well, it initially started as the world's first video magazine, dedicated to discovering and showcasing emerging talent. But now we've expanded it into like a whole youth brand. But the original concept was actually an interactive newsletter.
Okay.
So we was going to do video interviews and put them and like make a interactive PDF using Adobe InDesign, and like students would subscribe to that newsletter and we would send out the videos that we've done.
So when you say students, would it be like Kent students? Yeah,
it was going to start with Kent students.
Okay,
just students in general, innit? So we was going to go out, interview different people, shoot videos. Yeah. But shoot videos because I had a camera already from like my music days, because I used to shoot my own music videos.
Okay,
but
you do music?
Yeah.
You need to show me some.
Yeah, literally.
Back.
That's good.
Vulnerable talents.
With the videos, I hate writing, innit? I'm sort of my business. Like, we don't write. Like, I'm not a journalist. I got kicked out of English in school. So, I'm not, writing isn't my thing. So, we had a camera. We went and researched what a magazine actually is. And we saw on Wikipedia. I don't even know if we should even listen to Wikipedia. But Wikipedia said a magazine is a collection of items. So, then we was like, so a traditional magazine is just written articles. A collection of written articles.
Mm.
So, if we said we're making a video magazine, even though we don't have a magazine in the flesh, it's going to still be a magazine because it's a collection of video articles. So that was our thinking.
Yeah.
And then, so we just worked on that concept religiously, went to bare different events. And because our thing was music, arts, business, like any sort of creative, we'd go to a room and speak to everyone because everyone could be a potential interview. So then we went and spoke to some guy, and he was an accountant, and he said to me, oh, have I seen augmented reality, or have I heard of it? And I hadn't at the time. And then I went home and researched what augmented reality is, saw that it brings the digital world and the real world together. So we was like, we're already making digital videos, we're already making the videos. So if we was to make a magazine and then allow people to scan the magazine and watch the videos, that would be like a physical video magazine. So then we done more research and we saw that people, like other magazines had used it for adverts, but none had used it for the actual content.
Yeah.
Right.
So then we was like, calm, let's just do it,
man.
Yeah.
That's sick. I think that's so sick. Because a lot of our listeners and our watchers, I often get a lot of DMs talking about, how is it that I get into the industry? What is it that I can do to make myself appealing to employers? And it's like, one of the things that you've always said, and I've seen throughout some of the issues, is you got to be yourself, because nobody wants somebody else.
100%.
They want somebody who's not a carbon copy.
100%.
Where did that mantra come from?
Because you were featured on the Enemy video. Enemy, was it the website?
Life Hacks.
Yeah, Life Hacks.
I think so, yeah. That's where that quote came from.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
So what, because again, in the last issue, in the
oh, wow, you got done your
come
research.
On.
Come on. I even
I
forgot
play
about
about,
that.
You know?
You know what's even mad about that?
Yeah.
One of my mentors now was one of the guys that worked at Enemy.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, from that event.
Right.
Yeah.
That must have been big though, like getting a feature on there for you, was that?
You know what?
Or did it just kind of feel natural at the time?
I got booked for the event, innit? So I didn't see it as that big just because they'd done it to go with the event.
Right.
But like looking back, it was a big achievement.
Not many people can say that, man.
Yeah. Definitely not.
Not many people can say
that.
But as I was saying, like, in the editor's note in the last issue, you finished it by saying, lead the revolution, something along those lines. And it was like, be the revolution that you want to see.
Lead the revolution. Be the revolution you want to see.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about that.
The revolution?
Yeah. Talk to me about the revolution that you can see.
Well, like I said, a couple years ago, being young, being creative, that wasn't what people wanted to do. Or there wasn't so many examples to look at. But now we're in a climate where there's so many different young people who have taken matters into their own hands and made careers out of nothing, or just used the internet to, bring their ideas to life. And it's like, there's not going to be a time like this ever again. And it's like, couple years, we're going to look back at this time and think, wow, like, there was actually so many people doing something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's good that Guap have, you've made your mark digitally, because it's not just print that you're doing. You're doing videos, you're doing sound bites, you're doing photography as well. So it's like, it's three different things. And you're also across a lot of different social platforms.
Yeah.
So you're able to leave, you know, your digital footprint
everywhere.
Yeah. So that's going to, the legacy is going to live on.
100%. I what's important for me, and how I know, not even the sound of the big edit, our legacy will live on, because obviously it's good to do stuff digitally, et cetera, et cetera. But my thing is, if we impact people's lives, they're going to remember that for a lifetime. If you show them a cover, they might remember it for a couple months.
Yeah,
but because with everything we do, we work with emerging creatives.
Yeah.
We're putting on emerging creatives. Every single creative is going to remember that we've done that for them. Do you get what I'm saying? Because we're giving people their first magazine covers. We're giving people their first opportunity to do a big campaign. We're doing them type of things. And those type of things will keep their loyalty with us, or keep us like remembered. Because let's say someone like Slumflower, we gave her first magazine cover, and look at where she is now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't gonna forget that we gave her first magazine cover, because at that time no one done it. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's why I feel like our legacy will carry on, because we will continue impacting people's lives. It's not just take from for go up. Like, we're not just taking from people.
You're there to give back.
It's like a,
you help me,
you help me, I help you, we all grow together. Yeah. So yeah, then it's like,
definitely. I think me being a photographer for Guap as well, I feel like I'm definitely getting that from you guys. I feel like every time I'm doing something for you guys, I'm always getting something back.
100%.
And I feel like I like to give my all to Guap, because I know that I'm going to be getting the help and the support that I need to improve myself.
100%.
So how did it come about? How did you first, because that's an interesting thing that we haven't actually talked about.
I haven't talked about it. The first, I think it was Shani who sent out, it wasn't Shani, no. I just went on the Guap, I think it was LinkedIn, or it was a jobs website. I can't remember which one it was, but I saw that you guys were hiring for photographers. And I think this was when the cover for Dizane Leah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was when... Couple. Yeah, I think it was like a year or two years ago, maybe, when that cover came out. And I remember seeing her on the cover, and I remember seeing her photographs on Twitter about 6 or 7 months before that. And I was thinking, wow, she's a great photographer. I want to be doing what she's doing. And then I saw that she was on the cover of Guap, and I was like, wow, okay, now I need to get involved with Guap. Like, what am I doing? I needed to, you know, push myself and try and get involved. So I ended up applying for the a contributing photographer role. And back then, I didn't really think too highly of my work. I was just a bit touch and go, you know, like, just shoot whenever I want, and just thought, okay, it's just a hobby. But I didn't think that I would, you know, want it as a career at first. But a couple of weeks later, then Shani then replied and said that I'd got the role. And since then, it's just...
What have you done?
We'll have it on screen now. We've got to show them.
God. What have I done? So I shot the magazine cover, issue 13, Need the Revolution. I shot some stuff for Adidas as well, I don't have any evidence of anymore, because my hard drive...
I've got it.
You do have it. Okay, good. What else have I shot for?
Done like some editorial stuff. Like, you've done like Lunik.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. I also shot Lunik. Yeah, who is the PNR?
A&R.
That was funny.
A&R manager for Mostak, was it?
A&R for like Mostak, Tion Wayne.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hardy Caprio.
Yeah, so shot him. Also shot quite a few Guap parties as well, because you guys do throw a lot of Guap events. Those are pretty fun as well.
What are you saying? I got to be in the next one.
You definitely got to be in the next one.
Decent.
There ain't no party like a guap party.
Literally.
Is it, do you hold them often?
Well, guap party is an actual branded event.
Oh, okay, right.
It
okay.
used to be twice a year, but that's only going to be once a year. So if you miss it, the one, you got to wait a whole year.
Oh, mate, I better make sure I get in there early then.
You have to.
So considering you're still quite early on, you'd very say, in guap's career, as it were.
Yeah.
It's been going 3 years.
Three and a bit now.
What is it? Did you see, first and foremost, did you see it being where it is now when you first started it? Did you think it was going to be what it is?
What is it?
A successful magazine?
I don't know what everyone sees in it, but...
If you're, for me...
Yeah.
As something that's able to reach the amount of people that it's reaching and showcase talent the way you are, to me, even if you were doing it on a far smaller scale than you're doing it already, it's still a success because you're able to give back to your community. Yeah. You're bringing in new people. It's similar to how you were talking about scratching each other's backs.
Yeah.
Do you know the YouTube channel Black Box where they do the freestyles? So Black Box is one of those channels where you've got emerging talent coming through. And if you look at all of the artists that are big now in the UK scene, a lot of them have done Black Box freestyles. I feel like I can see similarities in the brands where it's, you see people coming through first through guap and then they go on and do, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So did you see guap being what it is now when you first started it?
Kind of, because I think we've always known where we wanted to go. So we always knew that the magazine was the initial concept and just the, like the bit, not the baby product, but the introducing product. We always knew we wanted to be a brand that had multiple legs. So we always wanted to be multiple platforms. Where we know where we're heading, so this is expected because, we put time into this and we know exactly how we want to be perceived. Okay. So kind of
that's important. Expected. It's definitely important to know the voice of the brand, isn't
definitely.
It?
Definitely, and it seems to be working because you guys have worked with Nike, Adidas, Mayor of London, South Bank, Vice you worked with?
Yeah.
So it's like these huge
people.
Huge names. So you're clearly making an impact and you're making your mark.
Talk to me about Sadiq then. What was that experience saying?
He's calm. You know what? I've not worked with him, but I've bucked him like a couple times.
Yeah.
Because I was on one campaign for that Mayor of London stuff as well.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's just in and out. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
But he'll be there 1 second and then
and
gone.
He's gone.
Yeah, like his days. I can't imagine being
what
there.
Is the, like, come on. But yeah, it seems like you met some interesting people through that.
Yeah, I've definitely.
I saw a picture of you and Stephen Lawrence's mum. A few other people in the picture. Like, what was that? What was that experience like? Because obviously that, for those of you who don't know, the Stephen. Well, everybody should know about the Stephen Lawrence situation. Yeah. But a young guy years and years ago now killed. In a racial hate crime, what was it like meeting his mum? Because I'm imagining that must have been quite a movie.
Yeah, it was just mad.
Yeah,
that was actually Stephen Lawrence's mum.
Yeah,
it was just mad. Yeah. Just
especially growing up and seeing all those new stories about it, literally everything, and then just meeting his mum. It must have been a crazy experience.
Even there was another woman there. I forgot her name. Yeah, but. She was Sierra Leonean as well. Mm. And I think she was the first black woman to get into like one of them law houses kind of thing. And then she done like a keynote speech. So even just seeing her and knowing she's like Sierra Leonean, that was just like, wow, I didn't even know we was out here kind of thing. So But yeah, that experience was very interesting.
I can imagine.
That day I cried.
Yeah?
I think I cried that day. Yeah, I think I cried that day.
Because in what sense? In like a sense of you were happy? What?
Yeah, like...
That people have come together to do something like that? Or?
Nah, you know what? That event that we took that stuff on, we had just done...
Talk to them about the event first as well and like tell them exactly what
so
the event was for.
We basically done a Black History Month event for the mayor at City Hall. So we had created the live music part of it. So we... brought on a young DJ, brought on a young presenter, and brought on a young artist to like perform. So we handled that. But literally, that was like mad overwhelming to me because it was at City Hall. And right. my last job here was at the Tesco. That's like round the corner.
Okay.
Yeah?
And I left that job like 2 years ago and just went for Guap kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all ran in. Next to Tesco is PwC. And that was the last place that I had a job interview for when I was meant to do a placement at uni.
Right, okay.
And I was like, I studied accounting and finance. So I was going to try and be an accountant. And
that's very
yeah,
mad
different,
is,
mad
yeah.
different, innit? But PwC was the last place I ever had a job at. And that whole process of like applying and like them not getting back to me and stuff
yeah.
made me really doubt myself. And after I didn't get that, I said, I'm never applying for a job again, kind of thing.
I know.
So yeah, so to just be like, for things to just go like full circle, we was at the top of the City Hall and I could just see like the whole of London. I don't know, maybe there was something in the wind or something, but like it probably, I just.
The progression.
Yeah, like it just
you
felt.
You feel the progression, yeah.
You
yeah,
just
like,
felt on top of the world.
Yeah, it just felt mad, like legit. Like I used to work right there.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah.
now I'm doing an event for the mayor, fam. Like, yeah. like it was real. A feeling I can't explain, but it's like it all just came to me at once and I proper cried.
No, but fam, progression is deep.
Yeah.
Like when you actually seriously sit down and reflect on what you've been able to achieve as a person. I'm not saying that I've achieved anything mad, but just from coming where we've come from and 100%. Then to be able to put your mark
100%.
On the internet. It's like, I mean, how else are you going to have a successful barometer for success?
Yeah.
Like that's, you've got to say that it's successful. You
yeah, no,
to.
No. It's like it's success to me, innit? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's success to me, but I don't know what other people are calling success, innit? Like, for me, it's success just because obviously I had an idea and we made it happen kind of thing. And
yeah, that's a success.
I wake up. So yeah to me,
yeah,
that's
definitely.
Success, innit? But people, like, some people you might see, because I get sent free clothes, a success. And I was like, I don't know what you're classifying as success.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
what my personal success is, innit? So
yeah.
I can't speak for other people because I understand how I'm perceived and I don't know what part of the perception you're seeing to say, oh yeah, I'm successful. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right,
is it, that I've done bare work and now I live my life? Or is it because I'm going away on holiday that I'm successful? Like, I don't know what they're seeing. So that's why I have
I
to
mean,
like,
there's
question.
Definitely, yeah, for real. Even some people see success as being able to wake up every day and say that you're happy in your job.
100%.
That's success to some people. 100%. And not a lot of people can say that.
Not a lot of people, which is very sad still.
Now it is, but then it's things like the magazine that will give people another outlook.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people might not have looked at the creative industry the same way before consuming that content.
Yeah.
You know? You've got to think about it like that.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was obviously now just hearing that you wanted to become an accountant or you'd planned to become an accountant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anybody else within your family like that you look to as a creative, or you had creative influence from it? So where does the creative juice come from then?
Family, let's say my cousin. So you know how I said I used to do music?
Yeah.
My cousin's the one that got me. Obviously, I've always loved music, but my cousin's the person that I recorded with first. And my cousin's an MC.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a guy called Maxstar. And he
Maxstar?
Like, yeah, yeah.
As in Maxstar?
Yeah, yeah. The grab.
That's your cousin, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So, so let me just pick that name up.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, he's a Grime MC.
I didn't know he was Sierra Leonean.
Yeah, no, he's Sierra Leonean still.
Cool.
And like,
it's Max's,
so he was an MC. So like when I was in that year 8, he was in that year 10, I think. And that's when he started like spitting. And I think he was getting more popular and stuff.
Yeah.
So he kind of inspired me in regards to like music wise. But all the other stuff, I think I've just been inspired about doing stuff myself. I don't like paying people for stuff if I know I can do it.
Yeah.
That habit from about, let's say, 13 till about 18, because I had that mindset, I just learned bare things. Like I can do so much things just because of that whole period. So I used to like make my own MySpace layouts and like made my own designs, and then I would learn editing, like get someone to shoot me and then edit the video myself, or like work out HTMLs and like how to make a website, all that stuff, just because I didn't want to pay someone.
Yeah. No, that's good, yeah, man. That's
and you know, when you're young, you don't have worries in it, so you can spend all your time in front of a computer.
But it's important, especially if you want to become somebody who isn't reliant on loads of different people 100%. To produce a product.
And especially in this creative space, especially in this generation and economy, you need to be self-sufficient.
Yeah, man.
Because, you know, if you're relying on other people, it's a lot of money as well. Money doesn't come easy nowadays.
Exactly.
And that's why Guap wasn't so hard to start. And even, let's say, with people that work with us, we never tell anyone. So let's say we get bail opportunities and Georgia can admit, say it for me, like, we don't say you have to go shoot this.
Right.
Like, I know how to shoot, innit? I can shoot, but I'm not a photographer, so it's not going to do anything for me. Mm-hmm. So we get opportunities and we'll be like, do you want to shoot this? If you want to shoot it, you do. If you don't, you don't. That's it. Like, but because I know how to shoot and I know how to edit, etc.
Yeah.
We don't have to rely on anyone to get the content, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But we can still give an opportunity if they want it.
No, for real, man. Yeah. Exactly. That's kind of what we pride ourselves on on this YouTube channel. We're all very self-sufficient. We can do multiple things. We've got skills in various different sections of media. So it's like, it's very, very important to be self-sufficient.
You'll be like flopping yourself. If there's like the internet, and you haven't learned skills.
Yeah.
Like you'll be dumb.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of our audience, they ask us a lot, how did we get into this space? You know, like, how are you learning different things, like learning different skills? But a lot of it is the internet. It's trying to learn. YouTube.
Them type of questions
YouTube
annoying
is a great teacher.
I swear, it annoys me because if you wanted to know, you'd find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that. Like, there is, you can go on the internet and type how to, and it will say how to cook, how to blah, blah, blah.
If
you wanted to know that type of question, you would not need to wait to listen to a podcast or thingy to make it happen.
You'd be out there doing
it. Yeah, you'd be doing it. Especially when there's we have no excuse, fam. Like, YouTube, it's like, it's not better than university, but you'll probably learn a lot faster.
Yeah, definitely university.
I think the one thing everyone does need, though, is like consistency.
100%.
And I think I could see from Guap that you and Jide have definitely put the work in for consistency.
100%.
And I think if we didn't do that, I think Guap probably wouldn't be what it is today.
There's been bare platforms and stuff, all things that I've seen that have come and started in the time we've been in this thing. Because we wasn't in the creative industry when we first started. Like, are from the ends.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole creative thing was just like, I didn't understand why the creators dressed like that. I didn't understand their parties or stuff like that. But we had to immerse ourselves in that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And one thing the consistency has kept us here, because like, people will have like personal problems and stuff and then pause their businesses. And with us, we've seen things like Nike, we've seen things like Adidas, and you will never see, because the founder of Adidas has a problem, pausing the business. That, like, the business is a separate thing. So even if we have personal issues, or even if like we're not good, the business still has to run. Do you know what I'm saying? If you want it to get to the level that it's meant to be, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for us, we're always thinking, let's say, 3 months ahead or 6 months ahead, because we always have to be working on something. Like, there should never be a time where people are asking, oh, what happened to Guap? Because the minute that happens in this climate, someone will just come and you're done. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that's why we have to be consistent, because if you don't, someone will just come take your place that.
And people are hungry.
Hungry,
that's what it is. And it's a very ruthless industry.
Yeah.
100%. You know, the media industry.
And I think a lot of people focus a lot on numbers and how much money you're earning from it. But a lot of the time, it's just being consistent.
Yeah, man.
You just got to keep putting the creative stuff out.
We didn't start making money till like last year.
Yeah.
Properly.
Yeah. I mean, I can. Yeah.
Like last year, probably.
Like 2015, you started, right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
It's
that makes sense.
A normal,
So
normal
like last year, properly, like, we would do like little projects here and there.
Yeah.
But we weren't like, and it used to annoy me that people would ask me, oh, so how are you guys making money? We're not. And you're like, we're trying to make a way how we're making money, but we wasn't making money. But now we're in a position where we've cemented what we do.
Yeah.
So now we are now asked how much we're charging.
Mm-hmm.
But if we didn't go through those years of...
It's the graft, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's the graft. It's the graft, and just like building relationships.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the work we get now has been from like relationships, or let's say if I've done a talk somewhere, someone was in the crowd or something. Like all those little moments, and let's say taking every moment and making sure you put your all in it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're getting paid £1,000, if you're getting paid £1, you put your all in it. And that's what we've done. So that like, even things like you said, you guys said I've done, we done the event with South Bank.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We got paid £50 for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we done like a whole, like created a whole festival stage for
that. Yeah.
Got paid £50. Yeah. But someone was at that event. That was at the London, the Mayor of London's team, and then they contacted us from that, and then for that event we got paid thousands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Man. But if we didn't do that £50 event, for
it's
like,
crazy to have things work like that.
If we didn't, because we turned up the place, even though it was £50, like it was turned up. So, but if we didn't do that,
then you wouldn't have made
then
the link.
We wouldn't. The link wouldn't have happened. You know what I'm saying? So it's just about consistently working, but consistently doing good work at the same time.
Exactly. Just proves that money just isn't that important.
Money is that money isn't that
important. I mean, it's important to an extent,
like, but
it, once you get it then you realize that you can use it to better your brand, I guess, but at the same time a lot of people don't necessarily understand the concept of investment and the fact that you're putting in 3 years work and a loss, you're at a net loss, but after that 3 years you've got 10 years down the line where you're making money.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't necessarily see where that progression can come. And also it's hard when you're putting your hand in your pocket and there's nothing there. You feel what I'm saying?
But so I think it's also a mindset though. I think even if we got bare money then, I'm not 100% sure that we would have been able to handle it properly. Actually, I'm 100% sure because when we first started, we were selling the magazine. And with a subscription thing. And in the first week, we made about like £2,000.
Okay.
And ask me what we spent that money on. I couldn't tell you. So like, it's better to go through the grind because you understand that you don't need all the money in the world to live.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can live on the basic needs, once you do get money, it's like
then it's a luxury.
Yeah, it's a luxury kind of thing. Because I was even saying to someone today, I pay my card and I'm still scared. I get like this feeling that it's gonna decline. even though I know there's money on it, but because I'm so used to like, oh, do I even have bare money then? I still get that like nervous feeling when I pay for things.
Yeah.
But it's good that way because it means I'm not gonna go and like
splash out. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't buy clothes now. And like the more I buy food and I buy travel.
Yeah.
If I go on like out with like friends or something, I might buy a little 1-2 thing.
Mm.
But
yeah,
my outgoings are very minimal.
Mm.
And that's probably because I went through that whole time of not having bare money.
Exactly.
I feel that.
It's humbling. Very humbling.
Yeah.
I feel that. So another thing, just on the obviously find out Max is your cousin's mad. I used to go, I grew up listening to Grime. I'm a massive Grime fan.
So Max,
have you heard his new album?
I haven't heard his new album. It's good. I haven't listened to it, but like growing up listening to Grime and stuff. So music was a big inspiration for you.
100%.
Your brother, if I'm correct, is also
He's an animator.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I was watching he recently did a video for somebody.
Yeah.
And I saw it through Guap. I went on the Guap website and I can't remember what music video it was, but I was thinking this is talent.
He's done
like proper talent.
His most recent one, he done one for Naramali.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So what's that like? What's that like having a is he a younger brother to you?
Yeah.
So what's that 14. Like? That's 14.
Mm.
That's crazy.
If I could ever show you the animations that this kid is doing, 14 years old.
14
that's still. Mad. Crazy. Big him up. What's that like though? Having a little brother so talented and especially that, do you think you influenced him?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna
ask. Well, he says I influenced him, so I must have. But he's sick.
Yeah.
Like especially because of the age he's in and how easy it is for you to be like influenced and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially where we live in that.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that he's got something to focus on.
Yeah.
And he's actually making money from it. And definitely. He enjoys it. And that's something. He got that tablet. He got a drawing tablet last year on his birthday. His birthday is on January 21st. So he got a drawing tablet last year. And for like months, he just practiced. I would come home after like work and stuff and see him on YouTube just working out how to like draw characters, to like animate. And then he started doing it for himself. Then I would put it out for him and people would like give him good response.
Yeah.
So I think that probably just encouraged him that he is doing something well. Yeah, right. Then he just improved and yeah, now he gets paid to do it. And he's about 14.
That's crazy. 14 years old.
14. That is mad.
He's about to be 15. Yeah, but yeah.
You see what I'm saying? YouTube tutorials, they work, you know.
No, legit, they really do. Just spend it.
They really do.
He's like 14.
Yeah.
They ain't got nothing to worry about. So yeah. he's just like in front of the computer all the time. Yeah. But he's always learning new things. But I'd rather him do that than be out on 100%. The roads and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
100%. Because it's not easy at the moment.
Yeah,
right?
It's not easy.
Like, I mean, we all know what's going on the roads, man. It's not easy, but I'm glad to hear that he's doing that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Another thing that I wanted to say, just as far as Guap's future, if you had to give it a 5 years, a bit of a mad time span, but the next 2 or 3 years,
5 years still short.
Five years, cool. Mm-hmm. 5 years time, where's Guap? What do you see Guap being? How do you envisage its progression from here to there?
I vision Guap to be like the global voice of creative youth. So just different avenues and different platforms to be voices for different types of creatives. So our main two avenues are events and content. Mm-hmm. So it would be doing content like with like worldwide creatives, creating a lot more documentaries. Yeah. That's like one of the main things we're focusing on this year because we feel like there's not a place for that right now.
Right.
So we want to do a lot of those. We want to have like a Guap spot. We have an office now, but we want to have a big Guap spot, which would be like a creative hub where like young creatives can come and just like work and do stuff. And then we have like there's other platforms of Guap that we're going to bring out. So I don't want to, don't know if I should even say it out, but we're building other platforms and other like businesses under Guap, which will empower the creative community.
Yeah. So you've got Guap Network at the moment, haven't you?
Right now we've got Guap. Guap the magazine, which is like content. Then we do like events. Then we have Guap Network, which is our in-house agency. So whenever we work with like major brands, we ensure that we get young creatives to work on these campaigns and just give them the opportunity to do that. So we have like a database of creatives that we just pick from whenever we do these campaigns.
And creatives can apply to...
Yeah, creatives can
apply
join.
To the... Yeah, that's good.
That will be growing. That, like, the target for that is to be, like, the go-to agency for our culture.
Right.
So, not even... It's going to happen. The other businesses, like, I'm really excited about those ones as well. They're not magazines or they're not content or events or nothing like that. But they're things that will... impact the culture a lot, but it'll be under the Guap umbrella. So
that's very exciting. I was looking forward to hearing about that.
We're trying to be,
when the time comes,
we want to be like,
who do you want to be like if you had to compare, if you was going to compare yourself to another brand, although Guap's very unique, but if you was to say this level or like that sort of something of that ilk,
Vice. Because we want to have like record label, we want to have like two films, like we like have spaces like that will create like proper wealth in the culture.
I was because now you said Vice, it really that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
because you it's not just a magazine. Like when I was researching and looking through, it's like you've got your sort of short documentaries, and you've got your written pieces on whatever it might be, boxing, arts and culture, whatever it might be. Like, it's a very diverse product.
Yeah.
When we like, that's who we looked up to when we started.
Vice.
So obviously, I think because we're from ends and stuff, people would think that we look up to like Graham Daly and that.
Mm.
But nah.
Graham Daly's cool. I think
they're good.
No, cool. But I think it's Vice is
a media.
Different. Vice is global. It's
we didn't house, yeah. we didn't like even like we didn't look up to like MTV. Like we did not come in this thing to be like a music channel.
Yeah, I hear
or
that.
A music thing.
Yeah.
We wanted to impact culture,
mm-hmm.
like every strand of culture, not just music. That's why I wouldn't compare ourselves to like the Graham Dailies or the SBs or that's what. Not that I didn't look up to them, but that wasn't the avenue we were trying to like. It was more the media and like news and like storytelling. That's why Vice is more of like an inspiration to us. But I think those guys are sick because obviously they're black and they're from ends, so they just showed man it was possible.
Definitely,
kind of thing.
Definitely, and that's always a platform anyway. Not a platform, a stepping stone. You want to see somebody else that's like possible. You that's done
exactly.
it.
Exactly,
you 100%. Know, and it gives you encouragement, doesn't it? But then you get your Vices and people like that where it's like, wow, now this is
it's a scale you want to be.
You feel me? Like that's definitely. Serious.
And the first book I read was the Jamal, not the first book, but one of the. When I wanted to start getting into like the creative community, the first book I read was Jamal Edwards.
Okay.
One, right. Because
big entrepreneur, man.
Yeah, that one had like bare tips, and it explained bare things that's happening to me now and at the time I read it.
Mm.
And he went through a lot of the same similar things, kind of thing.
Mm.
So, defo an inspiration just because. Them man actually done this and built something and built media from nothing.
Yeah, man. I can definitely
see
that.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's like you say, you want a different outlook on it and you wanted to give a different outlook. And I think that's important. You want to give a multifaceted experience to your audience. You don't want it to just be one thing or the other.
Yeah.
Which I think some of them are doing now, like... You've got Link Up and Graham Daly like delving into different aspects of our culture, but then at the same time, once you've built your audience, you're almost shackled by it a little bit.
Yeah, because even like, let's say, business models, like Vice allowed me to see how we're going to make money because I caught very early that Vice do branded content and do like content with brands and they get paid to do that. So I always knew that for Guap, if we wanted to make big money, we needed to get into advertising.
So we
cared about working with like music labels and all them kind of thing, but we knew that we needed to be culture in advertising, not culture in like music industry or like fashion industry, because they're not the guys with the money, like
that's
the saving money. So
that being said, then what was it like then when you first was like, oh, we're working with Nike, or why we're working with Adidas? Or
the Nike one was mad,
because
Nike was our first client.
I was just about to ask,
Nike was our first client, and
that's
our
crazy.
YouTube,
that's mad. Crazy.
It's mad because our YouTube doesn't even have bare views or nothing, and that's what they saw us.
Oh, for real? So didn't they actually see you through the socials?
I think they saw us through socials.
Yeah.
But then went on our YouTube and actually watched the content.
Right. Yeah.
So
okay.
They didn't actually care that it didn't have bare views, but they liked what it was showing.
Yeah. Was this Nike London or Nike as a whole?
It was basically through an agency. So an agency that represented Nike at first.
Okay,
it was just an email.
That's crazy. Imagine getting just...
Yeah, like...
Email from Nike.
Yeah, Nike. What?
No, like... The email was something like, we represent Nike.
Okay.
All right.
And they asked me to... Like, the first initial email was actually, what's your sizes? That was the first... And I was like, what? And I just sent them. I just sent my sizes. And then a couple of minutes later, someone else from the same team emailed me and was like, we represent Nike, blah, blah, blah. Nike, sorry. we've seen like your content. We like what you guys are doing. We'd love to work with you guys. Do you want to meet? And then from there, the relationship grew.
That's crazy.
But it used to be the relationship started through the agency, but that relationship has grown through to like us working directly with Nike. Mm-hmm. Let's say us like getting flown out by Nike and like doing like conferences and stuff like that with them.
Because Jude's in New York right now. Yeah, Jude's in New York right now. With Nike.
Which is lit.
It's crazy. And you've had Flora, one of your contributing photographers, working with Georgia Smith on the Nike London campaign. That was pretty
Georgia
awesome
Smith,
as well.
Georgia Smith. That's
a big name.
You know, I want to ask you, like, with people that you've met, you must have met a lot of people through the work that you're doing. Who was the most interesting / inspirational to you that you might not have expected or you might have expected?
That's actually a very good question.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of names that you've got to reel off the list now.
That's actually a very good question. The person that inspired me the most. We done an interview with Jidenna.
Ooh, interesting.
That was like one of our first big ones.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and that was interesting.
Yeah, for what reason? Like, did you expect him to be the way he was? Or you
I didn't even know
sure.
who he was at the time.
Oh, no.
I didn't even know who he was. We done an interview. But what he said in the interview was very deep and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a good interview. There was an interview we done with some guys called Astro Effects.
Astro Effects.
They're like forex traders.
Okay.
And their story was like really good as well.
Forex trading is crazy.
Yeah. Who else is there? We've actually done a lot. You know what? Look, in hindsight now.
Yeah.
Looking at Slumflower's interview, that was really good because she said that a lot of these brands don't want to work with her because she's outspoken,
right,
etc., etc. And to see where she's come now, being outspoken and all that stuff, it's quite sick. Like just looking at, she actually said, "This is why they don't want to work with me," but she's gonna stay herself
and
like
still be
stayed herself and done it. But I guess. Whenever we do a new interview, we always find inspiration within the interview just because everyone's journey is just so different.
Therefore.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, just kind of sparks something. Even this conversation we're having is probably going to spark something. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like every conversation we've done, well, had with someone has probably sparked something. So
definitely. Yeah. Everybody's come from different walks of life.
Yeah.
So anytime you're interacting with somebody who you might not be from the same background or you might not be the same ethnicity or whatever it might be, you're always getting a different outlook on how they've approached maybe the same path that you're walking, you know, because we were in a creative industry. There's a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily have approached things that I've done in the same way that 100%. I did. Mm-hmm. So I think it's always important to converse with each other as creatives and 100%. Be like, cool, this is how I did this, this is how I did that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Empower the youth.
Power the youth. Power yourself.
So, what are you going to leave us with then? I know you've got bits and bobs to do. I know you're a busy man.
Little entrepreneur running around London.
I'm writing a book.
You're writing
are
a book?
You?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm writing a book.
What, like a biography or like a...
Nah. It's a book. You know what it is? It's actually... I've got the name and stuff, but I don't know if I should announce it. But
no, man,
keep it.
It's, again, another thing that should help.
Is that launching this year?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I got kicked out of English in it. So it's probably going to be one of the hardest things I've done in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the concepts for it should help the culture. See how I said I read Jamal Edwards' book? I just hope, let's say... someone that's like 21 or like younger will pick it up, read it and like feel the same way I felt or get the same guidance I got when I read the Jamal one. So yeah, that's the aim basically. So yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Love that.
That's amazing.
I love that.
Brilliant.
Man. Yeah, let me know when it's coming out. I'm gonna grab me a coffee.
Jeez!
You know what I'm saying?
Jeez!
Gotta be done. Go but on. I appreciate for you appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks guys, I really appreciate it. Let's get our dreams, man.
Yeah, man, let's do it. VYB Nation, make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button, and keep tuning in, man. We've got more stuff coming, so keep your eyes peeled.
Also check out Guap as well.
Yeah, man, definitely. How could I forget that? How could I forget that?
Yeah, check out
Guap. How could I forget that? Check it out because it's deep and it's serious, man. Yeah. So check it out.
We'll put the links in the description.
Definitely, man. Definitely. So see you next time.
See you later.